Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your 3 minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All right, how do I do this again? What do I do? Oh, hey! Yeah, it's been a while. Hey, welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. When the hell did I do a show last? It's got to be, what, 2 weeks? I'm sorry about that. I got eight. And sometimes you just get eight. But no more! I can't really discuss it, but... David, your track of the day that you suggested will be coming up tomorrow, but tonight I had something that I really wanted to listen to yesterday, just, well... How does one say? Something that had been eating me came to a conclusion, and I'm very happy about it. So, and I couldn't believe, in amongst all the bloody music, and there's heaps to talk about today. There's just, like, been so much going on, even what I've been able to follow. And I've been trying to follow all this Roe election tampering McConnell thing, and that's just, I'm finding that just, super fascinating. We're seeing some real connecting of the dots going on with who and when and where. And, yeah, it's getting to be, I just feel that, you know, no matter how much we scream about the fact that, you know, this Democratic, you know, Congress hasn't stood up to the Republicans the way that we want them to. But it seems as though that there's, like, suddenly there's all this kind of stuff happening at this lower level where, you know, things are starting to be talked about in ways that I haven't heard them talked about before. and, you know, stuff out of the Justice Department, you know, the whole thing, the Attorney General's rah-rah, where they went off after that, they slammed Goodling. Sorry, checking out something in the old production chat. Anyway, but I was dying to hear this song, and I got close enough to fill the gap, but this will definitely do it. So, just for no other reason than it fits my mood. Yeah, it's good. The Who, I'm Free. Roll it, Bob. You know, there's been this RICO case coming up in Ohio about the ripoff of the 2004 election. And so it seems as though, you know, a guy that was ready to testify, this right-wing web development activist company guy, this guy Mike Connell, whose fingerprints just seem to be like everywhere. I mean, it's kind of astounding how many different places this guy, and you go to his website, and, you know, they're like really upfront. You know, we are a Republican-oriented web development, you know, outfit. So, you know, you start reading this stuff, and, like, I'm not even looking at the article because you just, you read it the way that they've connected the dots, and it seems to be all on the up and up. That this guy's been, like, everywhere there's been Republican computer fraud or something, this guy's been there. So, in situations like his company actually ran the Bush-Cheney 2000 and the Bush-Cheney 2004 web infrastructures. It even calls itself a powerhouse in the field of Republican website development and internet services, have played a strategic role in helping the GOP expand its technological supremacy. Right. Now, not only was he involved in both those Bush campaigns, but this guy is also doing the McCain campaign. And it gets better. He also did the infrastructure for the Swift boats. Swift boat are, you know, lying sacks of crap that somehow convinced the American people, no matter how wooden we might have thought he was, you know, turned Kerry, the actual, you know, war hero, into like almost a war criminal, and turned the draft dodger into a hero. Now, not only that, he was running the very servers that the Ohio elections were being tabulated on, and those were the same servers as, if I'm not mistaken, the Republican National Committee email system. So where the Ohio vote was being tabulated was being run by a Republican operative's internet services company. This guy even at one point did the firewall for the U.S. Congress. Do you think the Democrats could even hope to have an ounce of privacy if you have a Republican internet IT specialist working on the firewall of the U.S. Congress? You have to be joking. So this guy, it was on the official witness list and seemed like he was ready to talk. So that it's still, you know, it's unconfirmed, but where this comes from, I find fascinating. From Mike Connell's attorneys has come a request for witness protection. Anyone, you know, in the chat room, tell me if this sounds familiar at all. Supposedly, the guy feels in danger because his wife, well, basically Karl Rove has said, either you take the fall for the stealing of the 2004 election, or we come after your wife on lobbying charges. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Going after somebody's wife does to me. Sounds a whole like the, you know, Valerie Plame Wilson thing, doesn't it? Now, it's pretty easily confirmable that this guy was, in fact, involved in all these things. And, you know, you start talking about electronic voting machines and then off-site tabulation via the internet. Having someone partisan running it, do you not think that that is a severe conflict of interest? I just don't see how you couldn't. And now, right? So, like, there's all these kind of cracks, and these really sound credible. And, you know, when this first started, when this first came out, the Republican apologists all over the threads are doing their, you know, very best to you know, say that, you know, this was all just, you know, nonsense and, that, that, you know, there was nothing behind this, rah, 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 but, and trying to put it as hearsay. This was the thing. They were all trying to claim that this was hearsay, but it was actually officially, you know, asked for by the guy's attorney. I take that as a credible source. Oh, and as ELO says in the chat room, Blackwell's got to be feeling the heat coming down because that is the RICO lawsuit. And so, I mean, you know, and in a RICO suit, there is no discussion. I'm sorry. All of the legal scholars that I've been able to find and read, and I went looking for a few, you cannot claim executive privilege in a racketeering case. It doesn't apply. You're not allowed. This is how they got the mob. Always remember that. This is how they ended up getting the mob. So, hey, we've been talking about that these guys are mobsters for years. Let's treat them like mobsters. And, you know, we now have, you know, the House Judiciary finds Rove in contempt of Congress. Now, doesn't necessarily give any power to act, but it is actually very, it's pretty important. It's an important step. It's one more step to actually picking his ass up. And Pelosi was heard to say, I believe on, was it The View? How is that show? That show is turning into this, like, major conduit of political activity. It's bizarre. But, you know,
where was I? Flipping tabs.
But, you know, there's just more and more cracks kind of showing, and you have to go to velvetrevolution.us. This is where you kind of go, oh, and the penny really drops about how well they're connecting the dots. If you go to velvetrevolution.us, I do believe it is, and these guys have, like, this hour-long video in sections with the attorneys that are putting on this case. And via mobile phone on speakerphone, they have the IT specialist. And they lay out the case against Rove, you know, and like, just lay it out. And it seems to have gone beyond, and this is why I'm thinking that these cases are important. There seems to be there seems to be a sense of encroaching accountability, and is it just because the term is coming to an end, and we're only seeing some people beginning to do their jobs because they're trying to cover their asses for when the Democrats take over? Because there's got to be a lot of trepidation about McCain not getting in or finding a way to be able to stop Bush from pardoning people. It's what I think is necessary, you know. But, you know, and I've changed my mind a bit. I think it's now kind of too late to go for impeachment now, almost. You know, just because of the mess that it would make here, you know, like 3 months out from the election. And it's only because we've waited this long. But I still don't think that we should stop trying, because I think the case needs to be just continually laid out and continue to be laid out. You know, we've been having these impeachment, non-impeachment hearings. But yeah, Pelosi on The View, I get back around there eventually. Pelosi on the, I believe it was on The View, said that she would look at, I think it was stuff from David Swanson that I got. You know, she would look at impeachment if someone could show him the crimes. So there's an email campaign out there, I guess, you know, to send her copies of, you know, Kucinich's, you know, articles of impeachment, you know, both sets, and say, well, how many you want to choose from? Here you go. It's time to start moving. Or, you know, I mean, I really definitely, I there has to be so much, there are Democrats that are also just shaking in their boots, because if things are ever looked into, like the lead up to the war and the enabling that went on by some of the Democrats, they should be held just as culpable for the disaster that's been created by this, you know, completely unjustified, ridiculous, ridiculous war. And that segues me to another song. Now, I played this the other day, but I've been listening to this album, and it just kicks. And just so you give Bob a chance, because I haven't queued him up on this, but anyway, that Franti song I was talking about. I've been listening to this Yell Fire on the MP3 player, and it just kicks. But this song, you know, you finally start tuning into the lyrics, and I want to send, you know, I'd like to see a clip made out of this and send it around to all those, you know, I don't know, right wingers, I support the troops on my lapel pin, you know, types, and send them this, because I think just lyrically, light up your lighter, Bob. And it just sets up the liberal and the left's crazy view of what support the troops mean, which is, you know, the idea of keeping a light on to get them home as soon as possible, because they should never have gone. And the more I listen to this record, and I mean, there's other, you know, there's the whole album's awesome. And, you know, it comes from when he was over there visiting, you know, not just Iraq, but went to the occupied territories. And if you haven't seen the doco that he shot, it's great. It's called I Know I'm Not Alone. You can find it on Google Video. Whole thing's there. He probably stuck it up there. but it's just a great track. Okay, Bob's all set. So I reckon we need a really good YouTube clip that shows why, you know, or more to the point, this is what support the troops is. And this has just been a tragedy from all directions. So without further ado, once again, Michael Ferranti and Spearhead off Yell Fire, Light Up Your Lighter. Roll it, Bob.
It never makes no sense. It never makes no sense. Fire, fire, fire. Light up your lighter. Fire, fire, fire. Armageddon is a deadly day. Armageddon is a deadly way. They're coming for you every day. While senators on a holiday. The army recruiters in the parking lot. Hustling the kids, they're juggling pots. Listen, young man, listen to my plan. Gonna make you money, gonna make you a man. Bomb, bomb. Here's what you get. An M16 and a Kevlar vest. You might come home with one less leg, but this thing will surely keep a bullet at your chest. So come on, come on, sign up, come on. This one's nothing like Vietnam, except for the bullets, except for the bombs, except for the youth that's gone. So we keep it on. Light up your lighter, fire, fire, fire. So we keep it on. Till you're coming home.
miss a shot. And we never, ever, ever keep a body count. We're killing so efficiently we can't keep count. In the Afghan hills, the rebels still fighting. Opium fields keep on providing the best heroin that money can buy. And nobody knows where Osama been hiding. The press conferences keep on lying like we don't know. So we keep it on. The war on terror is a war on peace. Telling you they're gonna protect you, and telling you if they support the troops. And don't let them fool you with their milk and honey. No, they only want your money. One step forward and two step back. One step forward and two step back. Why the veterans get no respect? PTSD and a broken back. Take a look at where your money's gone, seen. Take a look at what they spend it on. No excuses, no illusions. Light up your lighter, bring them home. So we keep it on.
Can't beat that. Guy's just amazing. Never get over it. But I definitely suggest you got to check out this stuff on Rove. It's just too good, and I think we need to keep an eye on this. And as it develops, you know, just hammer the mainstream media. They gotta cover this. They have to. You know. No one is above the law, and I do believe that's what the judiciary just found, you know, today or yesterday, whatever the hell it was. You know, and we need to have accountability, even if it creates a bit of a mess. And I hate to say, but, you know, democracy is bloody, you know, messy sometimes. Not, you know, it's usually at its best untidy. And, you know, you just check out over on Brad Blog and the other source that was covering this at the same time is E Pluribus Unum, and they lay it out. You know, I don't think I quite made the point before. You know, it's not so much casting a net and seeing what comes up. It seems to be more focused and direct, you know, like they've really begun to connect dots on how and who. And it's a big who. It's a huge who. Because the who is connected to all these Republicans. I mean, you can only say one thing. Once Karl Rove is involved, and this IT guy has done all those all that web work, all that infrastructure. And he even ran the servers, if I remember correctly, he even ran the damn servers that lost all that White House email, and also ran another domain that the White House was using so that they weren't actually going through the actual White House servers, so that they could try and keep things outside of, you know, the public's firewall. And, you know, buddy, the same server systems sharing tabulators and Republican National Committee servers. Now, you know, Peter, you tell me, man. You know, you have access at a certain level. You're going to be able to get to other places, especially, you know, if you built all the infrastructure. I mean, that this is just so beyond suspicious, and so often that, you know, it can't be an accident. And so, you know, the attorneys have even sent this off to Mukasey, and, you know, we've had this. I mean, this is just completely just kind of throwing this out there. But, you know, how long has Mukasey been in his position now? Has it been like a year now? And you'd think, you know, I mean, we've had, you know, just nothing as far as accountability when it came to the Republicans, right? And like, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, dealing with Don Siegelman, like, and all this stuff is starting to get tied together. But, you know, we just had a couple of days ago the whole thing about the attorneys general, and Goodling and all that, and that they broke the law. They were found to have broken the law. Pretty simple. And, you know, that actually came out of Mukasey's office. Are we possibly seeing the signs of maybe someone deciding to actually fulfill the duties of the office first, and it's just starting to come around? I don't know. But it's like, what has changed? Gail and I were talking about this last night. You know, there seems to be something shifting when it comes to, you know, that old line, you know, facts are sticky things, you know? And, you know, and then we have what's his name up in Alaska, indicted on, you know, 7-8 counts. I mean, he's having stuff built on his home. On his home, the longest serving Republican. I mean, I see this when I wake up in the morning, when I first open up and have a look on the web, and I'm just like, you're kidding me. How good is this? And how fast are we going to see the rats just, you know, this stuff starts to be verified? Could we possibly see the complete disintegration of the Republican Party? I mean, you know, if only half of this comes out to be connected, it's getting to be pretty huge. It's getting to be fairly huge. And, you know, the impeachment, non-impeachment hearings that are going on, I know they're toothless. However, the importance of getting this all read into the record officially is so unbelievably important. I can't stress it enough. And it's been heated, it's been hot. What I've seen, and good on C-SPAN, I've heard they've re-aired it a couple of times. Just, you know, maybe they're sitting going, you know, maybe the American people should be seeing this in case you missed it. There's a bit of a brouhaha going on down here. And, you know, there's I've watched bits of it, and, you know, there's Republicans acting like, you know, complete and utter just disruptive dickheads. And, you know, well, I think it was Wexler had a great little, you know, and it's good, it's important, you know, and the only, I also think I've read that, you know, the impeachment word was used a hell of a lot for the impeachment, not impeachment hearings. The only one who didn't say it was actually Dennis Kucinich, but ha ha ha, he didn't need to. He submitted officially into the record his articles of impeachment and were so duly noted without objection. And so within those documents, now as part of the official record, we have marked a point where we can look back and say we started looking into it here. Because I don't think, no matter how hard we try, we'd never get an impeachment through before the end of the term. I just think reality's upon us now. And I think criminal prosecution afterwards. Because, you know, we haven't had these conversations in a while, but I think we're going to have to start having them again. Right, I think we need to be having discussions about what happens when we actually officially come around and say officially that George W. Bush should never have been president. Okay, what happens when that day finally comes, as many of us have come to understand, whether at the time or reality and the facts just became overwhelming with the disenfranchisement and the machines and all the other just nonsense, Florida and then Ohio and... What does happen then, right? It means, you know, I mean, you look at it, and Bob, correct me if I'm completely off base here, but if in any other kind of, you know, official position, if you were found to have gotten that position fraudulently, wouldn't most of what you did become virtually immediately undone? Wouldn't it become null and void just due to the fact of fraud? And that throws up a whole shitload of problems. You know, there's been a whole lot of legislation passed. A lot of weird stuff, all the signing statements. And so, would even a presidential pardon even still hold up? You know, I wonder, would it even hold water anymore? So it's so crucially important to continue the process, no matter how slow it is. But it just seems, I keep getting this impression, like somewhere in down there in the sludge and the slime, there are these really, really tenacious people who have worked really, really hard to start connecting up all of this crap that has made this world so bizarre and feel just completely surreal. And I sit here from the States and, you know, see stories of, you know, nut jobs going off in, you know, peaceful churches and, you know, have this whole thing, you know, the liberals and the gays and all this other crap. And you think, how the hell did we get here? I mean, seriously, how the hell did we get to this point where the world is so confused? That some poor unemployed guy goes nuts and shoots up a church. It just doesn't make any sense. And then you find, you know, he's a fan of all these people that we know that just are out there to just lie all the time. You know, I mean, I used to laugh when, you know, you'd have, you know, whatever brouhaha, regardless of the generation of, you know, this kind of music, you know, is corrupting the children. It's like, don't worry about the damn music. Bob is saying something with my audio. Yeah, it's weird here too, Bob. I'm having a bit of mixer ugliness, I think. Tell you what, why don't you play a track and let me see if I can sort it out. You had a couple of things on Freedom handy there, didn't you? Let me play one of those and see if I can figure out what's going on here. And we'll be back. And John will blab on some more. And no, I'm not back from on things. I'm like right on it. So go. Am I back? Does it sound better, Bob? Am I okay? I think I have a dry joint somewhere. I'll find it. Is it better? Yay! We'll have to find that. But anyway, from the Brad blog, just here, here's their connection to the dots. I think this is just wild. In an email in full below, details threats against Mike McConnell of the Republican firm New Media Communications, which describes itself on its website as a powerhouse in the field of Republican website development and Internet services, and played a strategic role in helping the GOP expand its technological supremacy. O'Connell was described in a recent interview with the plaintiff's attorneys in Ohio as a high IQ Forrest Gump, and his appearances at the scene of every GOP crime from Florida 2000 to Ohio 2004 to the Republican to the RNC email system to the installation of the currently used Congressional Computer Network firewall. Connell and his firm are currently employed by the John McCain campaign. As well, the Republican National Committee and other Republican and so-called faith-based organizations. I wonder if this guy does the American Family Association there, Bob. We'll have to check that out. Have a look. What's the new media? New media, my butt. New bullshit. Connell and his firm are in a phone call this afternoon, Arnback, which is his attorney, could not publicly reveal specific details of the information that triggered his concern about the threats to Connell. The message to the IT man from Rove is said to have been sent via a go-between in Ohio. That information led Arnback to contact Mukasey after he found the reports to be credible and troubling. If there's a credible threat, which I regard this to be, he told the Brad blog, I have a professional duty to report it. Attempts to reach Connell for comment late this afternoon were not successful. The disclosure from Arnback comes on the heels of a dramatic announcement last week made at a Columbus press conference announcing Arnback's mention to lift a stay on a longstanding King Lincoln Bronswell versus Blackwell federal lawsuit challenging voting rights violations in the 2004 presidential election in Ohio. The motion was made following the discovery of new information, including details from a Republican data security expert, including leading Arnback towards seeking depositions of Rove, Connell, and other GOP operatives believed to have been participated in the gaming of election results in 2004. They actually say gaming with election results. I mean, that just gives me little tingles. And a letter was sent to Mukasey as the same time last week asking him to retain email and other documents from Rove. Hey, have a look-see if you can get anything. Mr. Rove's emails from the White House to the Justice Department, Mr. Rove's emails from the White House to the Justice Department, the FBI, the Pentagon, Congress, and various federal regulatory agencies are obviously relevant to the factual issues that we intend to address in this case. Arnback wrote last week to the Attorney General, we are concerned about reports that Mr. Rove was not only destroyed emails, but also took steps to destroy the hard drives from which they had been sent. In his email to Mukasey today, Arnback writes, we have been confidentially informed by a source that we believe to be credible that Karl Rove has threatened Michael Connell, a principal witness to have identified we have identified in our King Lincoln case in federal court in Columbus. That if he does not agree to take the fall for elections fraud in Ohio, his wife Heather will be prosecuted for supposed lobby law violations. Wham! I hope. You know, we haven't heard anything more about it, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I just think it's, you know, it's pretty huge. They got the letter from to Mukasey laying the whole thing out, and you can actually, from the Brad blog, download the case information. And again, like I said, at velvetrevolution.us, they've got video with these people. They've got like a condensed one, and then they've got the 9-parter or whatever it is. And it is so worth spending that hour. It's good viewing. It's really good viewing. And when you hear their IT expert, you know, I thought about grabbing some of the audio off the video, but it's just like, what bits? I think it's one of those things that it really does take longer than, modern attention span and to actually sit down. But I'll tell you, you get about to part two and you're going, I see where they're going. And they seem to have done a very good job at identifying these connections. And this guy seems to be ready to testify. You know, he's all lawyered up, and they were going to do this thing, and now they're going, hey. These guys are threatening my wife. And like I said, you know, sound familiar? I mean, these people would stop at nothing. See, again, and I've forgotten who said it, you know, when evil's consumed everything it can, it begins to consume itself. And if half of this stuff ends up being bloody connected, I just expect to see all the little rats jumping the ship, trying to distance themselves, making deals, because they're all cowards. They couldn't play the real game, so they had to try and rig it. And rig it successfully they did twice. And then the other one was like Georgia or something like that. That gubernatorial one is the other huge one. Thank you. Thank you, Juggernaut. It's from the I Ching. Gail's the one that said it to me the other day, and so I think of that line, and I think of Gail. Anyway. Is my audio going weird again? Hey. Anyway. Wait to hear from Bob. There it goes again on my end. So, you know, as of yet, this has been out there, almost a week? Is it almost a week or just 5 days or something? And you know, we haven't heard a peep about this out of the mainstream media yet. But you got to hope that if these things continue to move forward, and, you know, we're seeing all these little flags thrown up for those that haven't been paying attention, you know, something's not right. And Dodge hasn't been for a long, 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 long time. And you see, look, these people weren't doing their jobs as they should be. They were breaking the law, putting political and almost religious tests for secular public office. I find that absolutely appalling when people do things like that. I know someone who's been dealing with something like that at their workplace. And it's just not on. It's just not on. So we got to keep on them. And it seems like, you know, I didn't know any of this stuff was really, you know, that kind of happening. But it seems to be much more happening than I thought. But check out Brad blog, velvetrevolution.us, and E Pluribus Unum, or E Pluribus Media, and they got a great piece on it there. So anyway, what else do we have? I don't know. I keep hearing that Troy King song in my head. And that picture is frightening, Bob. That guy's just weird looking. He's just really weird looking. And I saw that. I think Gene posted this at the blog. Goes again. Sorry, folks. I don't know if it's weird going to you, but my audio is all weird over here. Keeps wigging me out. But anyway, did you see this post? And I think it was from Raw Story, and it's up on the Horn blog about, and it, this stuff just starts to really freak me out when I hear this. Army recruiters threaten high school students. And it's out of Houston. With a war in Iraq and fighting on the rise in Afghanistan, the struggle to bring in new U.S. Army recruits is heating up again. And Irving Gonzalez, 18, got caught up in it all. And his family, as his family's oldest male, he feels he has to do whatever it takes to help out his single mom. For him, that means working long hours at his after-school job. But mom was left struggling. I would give her more than half my paycheck, he said. That's why the Aldine High School senior started thinking about the Army and tens of thousands of dollars in bonuses that could come with enlistment. They were offering me school. They were offering me bonuses, he said. So Gonzalez signed up, but only to pre-enlist in the delayed entry program allows kids to try out the military without a binding commitment. But the 11 News defenders have found there is a problem. Army recruiters aren't sticking to the program and are bullying them, even lying to potential recruits that their families and their families to keep them from dropping out. After he had a change of heart, Gonzalez became one such victim. I'd rather just stay here or go to college, he said, and he told his recruiter. The reaction, Gonzalez said, a recruiter told him that if he did drop out, they would send him to jail. Scared, Gonzalez called Sergeant Glenn Marquette, a supervisor at the Greenpoint recruiting station. Marquette told Gonzalez there was no way out. You signed a binding contract, he said. Hello? Hello? Not just completely, totally wrong here. You know, I mean, this is just madness. Telling you, you know, I mean, that's just... That's forced service, and I didn't think we had that in the United States. Or do we? It's mad. Army recruiting regulations say delayed entry members can leave any time. They specifically mention under no circumstances will any recruiter threaten, coerce, manipulate, or intimidate future soldiers, nor may they obstruct separation requests. Further, they state at no time will any recruiter tell a delayed entry program member he must go in the Army or he or she would go to jail. But when Gonzalez asked Marquette what would happen if he just didn't show up for service, a phone recording captured this reply. Oh, they got it on tape. Then guess what, said Marquette. You're AWOL, absent without leave. You want to go to school? You want to get no loans? Because all college loans are federal and government loans, so you'll be blackbarred from that. As soon as you get pulled over for a speeding ticket, they're going to see you as a deserter. We're going to apprehend you, take you to jail. Marquette continued, so guess what? All that lovey-dovey, I want to go to college and all that, guess what? You just threw it out the window because you just screwed your life. Well, he said, there is a way out. Just bring his male wife. Still does work. The other night, Stripes came on, and it was just so evil. It came on too late for me to stay up and watch, and it's one of those films. I've seen it 10,000 times, probably, but if it starts, it's really hard for me to walk away from. At least, you know, have to get to the spatula scene, you know, who's your buddy? Who's your pal? Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? It's one of the all-time best comedies, I reckon. It's just too funny. But I did manage to turn it off. But did have to watch the whole opening breakdown of Bill Murray. And he was so young then. Oh, my God. How old is that film now? 30 years? All right. That's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry about the audio problems. And sorry it was a bit weird. I kept trying to play with stuff, and it was kind of distracting. But anyway, we'll figure that out, figure out what was going on. Thanks for tuning in today. Thanks for Bob Kincaid for producing. Thanks to Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And thanks to Ben Burt at the White Rose Society. He's still doing his fundraiser, so go over there and do the right thing. Thanks to Scott Berry for the music. Thanks to Bob for some of the other music. Thanks to ELO for some of the other music. And be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, I said, imagine that, huh, me working for you. Whoa. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking
shot of sight. So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the house.